Pastor Pease asked me to preach, and I accepted, and I had to think about what am I going to preach on, and I decided to stay with the theme, the will of God. I don't believe that I will tell everything that needs to be said, because he's already been working practically every sermon on the will of God, and I think you begin to understand that one of the things about the will of God is you got to know God. And one of the things that God tells us is to exhort him, to praise him, and to be thankful. And we need that kind of remembrance. So sometimes when we think that we know the will of God, we need encouragement, exhortation to do it. But I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 5. And even with the subject of the will of God, I remember several years ago that I got a book entitled The Will of God, I think it was, and it was on the will of God. A pretty good sized book, read all the way through it, and they didn't follow my outline. I don't even remember that he used even part of it. So what you hear tonight is mine, I guess, Barry's theology sticking its head up again, but hopefully it'll give you some encouragement and some ideas of what to do for the will of God. Chapter 5 of the book of Ephesians, starting in verse 15. See then, you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. We're told to know the will of the Lord, that you walk circumspectly, and you're going to have to, you know, my Sunday school class, I get you involved, and I'll ask a question. So if you're not walking circumspectly, you're not in the will of God, you're a what? What does it say? Verse 15. You're walking like a... See, I'm glad you said that, because when you leave here, you're going to be able... You can't say, Brother Barry called me a fool. You people called yourselves that, all right? Ought to walk circumspectly. Ought to say, I know I am in the will of God. Now, how does one know the will of God? First of all, you got to be saved. There's no way... You can walk in the will of God. I had somebody text me this week, or actually, yeah, it was this week. Does God hear unsaved people's prayers? And I told him, well, actually, I've heard it in a sermon one time, that's all, but why would he hear an unsaved person's prayer? The only prayer he's going to hear is a sinner's repentance prayer asking for salvation. If a person isn't willing to do that, why would he listen to something else? But then people can say, even unsaved people have prayers answered. And his response was, probably answering a prayer of somebody else that is saved and not an unsaved person. So first of all, if you're going to know the will of God, you have to know God. You have to know Jesus Christ is your Savior. You have to surrender your life. When you're really going to say, I'm walking in the will of God, you're going to have to be able to say that without saying, I'm doing my own thing. I'm doing what I want to do. Because that's where a lot of people go astray. They maybe know what God wants them to do and they run from it. They go do something else. So spiritually, that's what you've got to do. Separation from the world. The Bible teaches that over and over again. Separation from the world to be different. And in today's world, that's not very hard to do. If you look around and see what's going on in the news, our Christian standards, as we want to call them, do not jibe with what the world wants to do. And then we have to have spiritual mindedness, the idea that, you know, I am wanting to serve the Lord. And for some people to get to that point, to finally just surrender and say, Lord, I'm going to do what you want me to do, is not an easy thing, all right? Now, I'm going to give you four things to help you know what the will of the Lord is. Number one is the Word of God. And I'm going to cover some more scripture verses and places on that. Number two, circumstances will tell you the will of God. Number three, you have friends who can tell you or encourage you to do the will of God. And number four is the Spirit of God. But the Bible says, try the spirits, and I'll come to that. Now, most of you don't really know us too well, how we got here, why we're here, even how we get to the mission field. And I'm going to explain to you using that outline how God has led us to be where we are. First of all, when you turn your life over to Jesus, say, I'm going to do what you want me to do. There's three major decisions you're going to make probably in your life. And at this age, most of you have made at least one or two, maybe all three. Number one, what are you going to do with Jesus Christ? That is going to influence everything else that you do. Without Jesus Christ, you will go do your own thing. When I was a young boy, probably about five, maybe six, my older brother walked down the aisle of a Baptist church. I got out, I walked down the aisle with him. 2 weeks later, I was baptized by immersion in a Baptist church. That was when I was about five. When I was around 12, I began to question that. Was that really salvation? If I died, would I go to heaven? I remember talking with my father, talking with the deacon, and I walked down the aisle of a Baptist church. And 2 weeks later, got baptized by immersion. But I was sitting in a service about a year later. I was keeping track of what the man was preaching. It wasn't our pastor. But when the invitation was given, pastor got up and said, are you 100% sure you're saved? And the Holy Spirit says, you don't know, do you? No, I didn't. And the pastor said, why don't you get it settled tonight? And the Holy Spirit said, why don't you? And that night I walked forward. Now, this is the same Baptist church I was a member of. I came every time the services were there. I was president of my Sunday school class at age, 13. And the pastor, when I came, he said, like you could see it in his face, what have you come for? And I said, I don't know if I'm saved. I don't know if I'd go to heaven. That night, I remember somebody sharing with me John 3:16. That night, I remember somebody sharing with me Romans Road. And I remember that night asking Jesus Christ to save me. And that changed my entire life. Now, at the end of the day, you might say, well, if you knew some things about me, you might say, you really a Christian? I could tell you, yeah, I'm a Christian. I may not be acting too good, but I'm a Christian. I mean, after all, that's a father-son type relationship. And, my own son, there were times when I wasn't too happy with some things that he did. And sometimes as a Christian, I've probably done some things, said some things I shouldn't. But I knew one thing. I was saved. I was going to heaven. Now, I don't know about you individually. I know of some of you, but are you absolutely sure that if you got in a car and had an accident going home, you'd go to heaven? If you can't answer that question, you really need to think about, do I know Jesus Christ as my Savior? The Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. He wants everybody to be saved. So that's the first step. That's the Word of God. And then the Word of God tells me how to live as a Christian. I've heard people on the internet say that Jesus Christ never talked about homosexuality, transgenderism, and some of the issues of today. And the answer to that is, yes, he did. Matthew chapter 19, he told the Pharisees, have you not read? And then he said, God created male and female, full stop, and that's it. Amen. And that's where we ought to stand. By the way, I just saw a little bit of a news blurb, if you will. There's a large Southern Baptist church that has made an official statement. We need to accept transgender, LGBT people, et cetera, into our church. If the Southern Baptists keep that church, I can tell you which way they're headed to then. That's sad, because God has told us about those kind of issues. What else has God told us to do. Thou shalt not steal, murder, lie, commit adultery. And again, my wife was on Facebook and she ended up doing some research work. Some of the things I already knew. But here's a guy who was in jail because he crossed state lines with an underage girl. He said it was the will of God, though, for him to be messing with this girl. I thought, no, because you're already married. Will of God says, thou shalt not commit adultery. And yeah, he got caught, and yeah, he's in jail. What does the Word of God say? If you're going to say, I am in the will of God, then I've got to be doing what the Bible says to do. And it's not just thou shalt not, because sometimes we major on that kind of thing, unfortunately, but there's a lot of positive things we ought to do. Now, in Matthew 28:19, let's keep your fingers there maybe. Matthew 28, verse 19. I've got a missions conference coming up. Go ye therefore. Now, when I was in school, they taught English. They didn't teach all this other stuff they're trying to teach today. And every English sentence has a subject and a verb. Well, the verb is go. What's the subject? What? You. Again? You. You. Go ye. Do you have permission to stay home? People tell me, God didn't call me to the mission field. It's in the Word of God. Now, maybe your mission field will be Elizabeth City, North Carolina. Maybe some other place nearby. But for some of us, that go meant literally around the world. That's a do thing. We are told to exhort one another, to encourage one another. We are told to love the brethren. We're told to love a neighbor as ourselves. We're even told to do good unto our enemy. Now, that's different from a lot of other religions of the world, quite frankly. I listened to one guy said, you choose. You could go with Islam and Muhammad. All he did was go to war and kill people. Or he'd go with Jesus Christ, taught us to love one another, and never went to war. It's your choice, he said. The Bible tells us to, praise the Lord, tells us to pray, tells us to do all kinds of different things, to meditate in His Word. And so the question is that what you're doing? Because if the answer is no, that's not what I'm doing, then you're going to have a tough time saying, I'm in the will of the Lord. That's the subject for the whole year. And I hope and pray that people would say, I need to be in the middle of the will of God. Second big decision, and probably most of you have made it, who to marry. You'd be surprised how many Christians I've met who have told me they felt that God wants them to marry so-and-so who's unsaved. But the Bible says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. In almost every case, that doesn't turn out to be a good decision. Almost every case. So who are you going to marry? The major decision. And like I said, most of you probably have made that decision already. And the third decision, what occupation will you do? Especially if you're a young person. But I listened to a college professor or college president actually talking to a young man, and he said, what is your occupation going to be? He said, nowadays it seems as though you go to school right out of high school and you learn how to do whatever it is, and about 10 years down the road you go back to school, you learn a different occupation and go do whatever that is, and then you do it again a third time. He said, that's the average. Now, when I was younger, I remember my grandfather, as far as I know, he only worked one or two places in his entire lifetime doing basically the same thing. Those days seem to be kind of gone. But you need to ask yourself, what is it God wants me to do? I'm home and don't have a job, somebody offers me doing bartending, guess what? The Bible says, woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink. So don't tell me God led you to be a bartender, because it contradicts the Word of God. Whatever occupation you pick should be one that would honor and glorify Jesus. Sometimes you never know how it's going to affect people. Our pastor, Voss in Hickory, told a story of he worked at Sears as a TV repairman. And there was a guy said we could not stand. He come in from church on Monday morning, and all he could do was sing and talk about the Lord. He said, we couldn't stand that. And he said he'd kind of settled down by Wednesday. We could kind of get where we could talk with him a little bit. But then he'd go to church Wednesday night and come back Thursday. And, you know, just we didn't want to talk with him about things of the Lord. But he said, you know what? When my marriage came apart, guess who I went to talk to? Him. Led to him to the Lord. Led him back to his wife. Got it all back together again and ended up in a ministry. You never know who you're going to reach if you're in the will of the Lord. Never know. First of all, the Word of God. And I've already told you about how I got saved. Circumstances. Circumstances. Oh, but wait. Whatever your circumstance is, go back to the Word of God. Go back to the Word of God. God's put you someplace for a reason. You may be uncomfortable with it, but God's got you there for a purpose. Sometimes just to learn lessons. Sometimes just to learn how to, you know, get along with people you disagree with, whatever. But circumstances. When I'm getting out of high school, I didn't know what I was going to do. I actually had this view that I would like to build a boat or buy a boat and sail around the world. That was kind of my goal in high school. So, you know, some know my boating connections. Well, I didn't know how to do that. Lived in Elgin, Illinois, 50 miles out of the loop of Chicago. And my senior year, I built an 8-foot sailboat dinghy. And it stayed in the garage for the next 4 or 5 years before I did. You know, I could say I owned a boat. It was just 2,000 miles from where I'm at. Well, God did something far better than as I look back on my life. I've been in places I thought I'd visit. I've lived there. And I've got to do things that I wouldn't have done just going through. But as I was in talking with people, I had somebody recommend to me the United States Coast Guard Academy. And didn't need a political appointment, but you have to do well on the SAT scores, which I don't know if they even still do that anymore. So I applied to the Coast Guard Academy. I took my SAT test, and I heard nothing, nothing, nothing. I finally wrote to them, and I said, hey, what happened? They wrote back. They said out of 3,000 people who applied for the Coast Guard Academy for the same year you did, we only took 300. And you weren't one of them. Now you have to realize something. My older brother had stayed home when he graduated. That was the last thing I wanted to do. I wanted out. So now what am I going to do? I didn't have money to go to a college. Coast Guard Academy pays you actually kind of to go there. It's a military thing. And finally, I remember on a Friday, Lord, I'm done. I'll stay home. Monday, I'll go down and enroll in a junior college. Settled. That's what God wants me to do. Saturday, I'm out collecting money for my newspaper route. I come home, my mom's excited. I got a telegram from the United States Coast Guard Academy saying somebody's turned down their appointment and here's your report date. Yeah. And I'm like, no, 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 this isn't how I figured it. So I began to pray. I had five things I prayed about. I needed $300 cash. I needed an airline ticket. I needed some other things. All of that was answered. So that when it came time to actually leave and go, I knew this is where God wanted me to go. I've had two people in my deputation and furlough in churches that I've been in, and I mentioned being in the academy, and I have two young kids come to me and say, what's the address of the academy? How do I apply? And stuff like that. My first question is, have you prayed about it? And in both cases, it was no. And in both cases, I said, God doesn't want you there. Listen, you need to be praying to God of what you're going to do with your life. And circumstances will drive you in a particular direction sometimes. I tell people that's why I'm not on TV. I don't have enough money to get up a TV channel or something like that. Friends. Friends can lead you in the will of God. But you have to ask yourself, are they leading me towards God or away from God? All of the years that I have pastor on a mission field, I can tell you that everybody who ended up leaving church had friends who pulled them away from church, each and every time. And that's one of the questions you need to ask about your friends. Go back to the Word of God, say, are my friends pulling me towards God or are they driving me away from God? My mother was in a Sunday school class. And she came home one night and said, hey, I told your problem to this particular lady in the church. I laughed. The lady owned 5 bridal shops. And what am I going to do in a bridal shop trying to make $300 and airfare and all of that? She called me later that night even. She said, Alan, have you ever washed and waxed cars? Well, yeah, you know, kind of done that. She said, well, I got mine tomorrow. We'll line some more up. She started calling around. Elgin, Illinois has got 50,000 people in it. When I got done 3 weeks later, I had washed and waxed every car I knew of. I didn't know of any that weren't, and I had the money I needed. Amen. Friends can help you in doing the will of God. And in fact, the church gave me a going away party and they gave me money, like $30. And I'm like, Lord, what's this for? I've got everything covered. Well, you know, being a young guy, I didn't realize they pay you to go to the Coast Guard Academy, half of an ensign salary, but they take out for food, they take out for uniform, they take out, you know, a lot of long lists. But they do give you cash at the end of the month, and the $30 lasted me till the end of that month, till the first payday came. But friends can help you know the will of God. Now, unfortunately, we've got people who will call a friend up and say, da-da-da-da, and this person says, no. So they go to another friend and say, da-da-da-da, and that person says, no. And then finally they go to a third friend and say, da-da-da-da, and he says, yes, and they say, that's what I need to do. Don't do that. Go back with the Word of God and check it out. What is it you should be doing? Be careful with your friends. So the Word of God leads us to be saved, leads us to follow the will of God. Circumstances will help shape our lives of what we're going to do. And sometimes we just have to say, that's just the way it is. Tell you what, God's still got the best thing for you that you could ever do on your own. Friends can help you out, but again, check your friends because they may or may not lead you closer to God. The Holy Spirit can lead you to do the will of God. The Holy Spirit. But wait a minute, I don't know about you, but I've read stuff and heard stuff. The Spirit spoke to me and said, da-da-da-da, and you realize, not the Spirit I know. God's not going to send you in that direction. The Bible says, try the spirits. How do you do that? Go right back to the Word of God. And so, how does that lead? Well, I graduated from the academy. Now, let me tell you a little side story to all of that. Why did I end up in Elizabeth City? Is that, I got time. I was leaving Coast Guard Academy. First duty station was Morehead City. And I was on Route 17. There was no 95 back then. And I'm downtown in Edenton. I was in Morehead City, and I was going downtown Edenton on Route 17, and there's a stoplight that if you don't take the hard right and follow 17, you end up downtown Edenton. And I'm sitting there at the stoplight, and I'm looking at downtown Edenton. I said, wait a minute, there's a dock at the end of the road. Well, you know, that's why I got in the Coast Guard. I wanted water, I wanted boats, and hey, this is on the Abramaul Sound. I knew that much. And while I'm sitting at the stoplight, it's almost like somebody was talking to me. He said, this would be a good place. I'm just a young guy. I just got out of college. I'm just finally retired. That's 20 more years down the road. But I never forgot that. And every time I drove through Edenton, well, there's a Baptist church, Emmanuel Baptist Church. But I didn't know at that time the difference between a Free Will and a Southern and an Independent and a Seventh-day Baptist of any kind. But there's a Baptist church. And kind of a nice small community. Might be a good place to retire to. Well, you know, us preachers, some of us, you can look at me and say, he compromised. Because I didn't get to Edenton, I got to Elizabeth City. Now, I blame my wife for that one, and she knows this coming because she told me, Edenton, no. She said, I'm not driving 30 miles to Walmart. I'm not driving 30 miles to Food Lion. I'm not, you know, living out in the middle of nowhere. So, yeah, we've ended up here. And by the way, we're glad we have. We're glad that God has led us here. But the Spirit of God can take us in the right direction. So I got out of the Coast Guard, I ran my own bicycle shop, and then God called us to the mission field. And at that point, we were in New Bern, North Carolina, sold the bike shop, went to Bible school for 1 year, September through August. And by the way, I'm telling young people what I listened to this president of a Bible college say to a graduate of high school or soon to be graduate. Go to Bible school for at least a year. If you don't know what occupation you're really going to do, and that may change about three times in your lifetime, go to Bible school because all of your life you're going to be a Christian. And you can learn some good basic Bible and go from there. So I'd say that's a good start point. Learn as much Bible as you can. And with today's online capability, you can find a very good Bible course and learn the Word of God. Even as a missionary, when I first went on a survey trip, I'm in the hospital with the other missionary. He was preaching and people asked me questions and I'm like, I better know the answer. And I had no clue, a couple of answers there that I needed to know. So yeah, you need to know the Bible so you don't get led astray. But then here we are, trying to serve the Lord. Well, what can I do at this point in time? Not redeciding who I'm going to marry. What occupation am I going to do? So what is it that I can do? I can do what God's put me here for. Exhort people. Be an example to people. Tell them, listen, I look back on my life and I don't believe I could have done it on my own. To do what I've done, to be where I've been, to have these experiences that I've had. Only God could do that. And He can do the same for you. Whatever your desire is, serve Him. Put Him first. So when you're looking at knowing the will of God, number one, the Word of God. Number two, circumstances. How are your circumstances aligning you to go in a certain direction? Number three, friends. Be careful. Check them out with the Word of God. And then number four, the Spirit of God. in which you can say, I've tried the spirits, this is of the Lord, this is serving him, and you can do that. And I urge you, especially you who are more mature in the faith, to encourage these young people, people that you meet stores and on the street and in your business or whatever association you may have, and tell them, God's still there. He can still save. And that's what we ought to do no matter where we are, whether it's on the mission field out of all of these flags. And some of you may know, I know of a couple that may not, we were in the Marshall Islands for about 6 years. We're about 30 years in St. Vincent. So we got two flags up here from where we've been. But it's been an interesting life. And I could say that there was one point at the Coast Guard Academy, I could have quit. I don't even know how to explain it. But I could have just threw in the towel and gone home. But there was one thing that kept me there. This is where God put me. And this is where he wants me to be. And I stayed. And later on, as a missionary, without going into any detail, I was in tears one time. I told my deacon, I'm done. If this is mission work, I'm finished. But I got to thinking about it, and praying about it, and you know what? This is where God put me. This is where he wants me. And I didn't quit. Amen. I kept on going. And I can say now, looking back, it's the best choice I ever made. Put God first. And urge each and every one of you to do the exact same thing. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your love towards us, not only in salvation, but also in guiding our lives. And Lord, as we are here tonight, help us as a church to reach out in this community as a light. Help us to see some new people come that are not saved, that we can win to the Lord, be an example to them. And Lord, help us to just support missions literally around the world. Lord, I thank you again for the opportunity to be here, be with Pastor Pease, and bless him. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.